Get ready for conflicts where movie reviews collide.
Hello all, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Conflicts, the podcast where we, everyday people with absolutely no qualifications, review movies like our opinions matter. Welcome. So here's how we roll. I am the moderator. I've apparently said something funny because Nick is already laughing. Nick is one of our reviewers.
No, it really is.
That was
great.
The best intro. I'm sorry that I just ruined it. I was like, God.
No, it's
she
great.
Totally nailed that.
See, guys, you're a minute in and already I've nailed it. That's what you can expect from this podcast. I'm going to nail it every time. Every time.
Every time.
All right. So here's how we roll. I am the moderator. My name is Laura. Hello, dear listener. I'll five of you, and I act as the go-between slash peacekeeper slash babysitter for these two guys, Nick and Rich, our reviewers. Say hello, guys.
Hello, guys.
Oh, dad joke. It's a classic.
Hello,
that
five
one,
listeners.
That one's Nick that said hello, five listeners. Dad joke is Rich.
That pretty much sums me up right there, actually, doesn't it? You know everything you need to know about me
yep.
Now.
It's going to be your new nickname. It's a thing. Welcome, dad joke. All right. These two gentlemen almost always have very different opinions on any given movie. You might even say they have conflicting opinions.
Oh, I see what you did there.
See that? Conflict, conflict. So song. Anyway, Rich and Nick are going to review the movie. They'll give it a grade, A through F, just like in school, justify their rating, and then defend that rating against each other. Then I throw in my humble opinion on the movie, and we follow that up with Female Factor, a little segment where we look at the movie from a feminist perspective and see how it fares. So that's the general idea, and we're going to dive in.
Yeah, you know, I should say that Nick and I don't know what we're going to say. Laura knows. We've told her.
I know all.
A little bit, but we don't know. We keep radio silence.
It's
our
very true. So as you hear their reviews, they are also hearing each other's reviews for the first time.
And we may even be making faces at each other across the table while we do it.
It's really a shame that we're not doing this as just a YouTube channel, because we do. Well, then we'd have to actually care how we looked. So never mind. I take that back.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
Rich's face at that moment, his eyebrows were like up to his hairline, like, no. Nah.
That's what we're going to do. We're just going to describe each other's facial reactions to the
and
listeners.
Plus, we'd have to blur out all the trademarked, like, Rich is rocking a Star Wars t-shirt right
I
now.
Totally am.
I'm representing education.
I don't know what UCA is, but they have bears.
Does education know you're their representative? have they signed off on this?
The dean called.
He wants a sweater back.
I like that the dean sounds a little bit like Sling Blade.
Well, it is in Arkansas.
Oh, it's University of Central Arkansas. Yeah. They have bears. It said UCA bears. I didn't know what it was.
Apparently, this is the same for cheerleading association, too.
And oh.
I've had like some girls go,
oh, you're a cheerleading bear. Oh my God. He has a long beard, everybody. That's why that's so funny.
Once again, visual gags. Great for podcasts.
That's what you came for, five listeners. Welcome. Yeah. All right. Today, we will be covering the MCU's 21st film, the smash hit Captain Marvel. Side note, guys, I'm going to refer to it as Miss Marvel on accident, and I'm sorry. Alliteration just rolls off the tongue. Deal with it.
I don't think you have to apologize for Miss Marvel. That's close enough.
It's Ms. Marvel. I hate saying Ms. It's something about, like, it doesn't roll off the... In writing, I respect it. MS dot. I appreciate that. Saying Ms. is like saying vase. Like, you're just being a tool. It's a vase, miss. Calm down.
It kind of sounds like you're saying the wrestler's name, The Miz.
The Miz.
And I'm like,
see, I didn't know that was a wrestler. Yeah, I know The Rock. He did an eyebrow thing.
He did.
Anyway, back to Captain Marvel slash Ms. Marvel slash Sidebar Nation. Okay. Here's a brief synopsis of the film. Captain Marvel is a Kree warrior who finds herself caught in the middle of an intergalactic battle between the Kree and the Skrulls. Taking place on Earth in 1995, the story follows Carol Danvers, United States Air Force pilot, as she becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes. With help from Nick Fury, Captain Marvel tries to uncover the secrets of her past while harnessing her special superpowers to end this interstellar war. Dun, dun.
I almost did that, and I was like waiting. I was like, I think she's going to do that. I'm not sure.
All right, starring Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Jude Law, Annette Bening, and more. This movie was released March 8th, 2019, is directed by the filmmaking duo of Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. I did a quick Google of them, and I was not familiar with any of their previous works, but all of it was done together as a filmmaking team. The screenplay is written by the aforementioned directors as well as Geneva Robertson-Dorton, and the story is by Meg Lefebvre, Nicole Perlman, and the aforementioned three who got screenplay credit. And despite the quote-unquote controversy surrounding this film pre-released as of 4/13/2019, it has made $1.044 billion at the box office and is on track to usurp Black Panther as Marvel's most successful standalone movie.
So that's over $1 billion.
Dun, dun, dun. I need to stop with the dun, dun, duns. That's probably trademarked and I'm probably going to have fines.
Yeah, I know. Minions, man.
I've never seen that movie, proud to say.
DreamWorks.
They're little walking Twinkies with an eyeball. Why?
But they're funny. I mean,
I do like their little sounds. Their sounds are cute. This right now, here in this moment, is your spoiler warning. From this point forward, this podcast will contain spoilers. If you are listening to a podcast about a movie you haven't seen, I don't feel sorry for you. All right, guys, tell me about your like ties to the MCU, to Marvel, to comic books in general. Nick, I'm going to start with you because I know you are a big DC guy. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about comic book movies in general? How strong into the comic book world are you?
Okay, now I am not that tied into the comic book world like I once was, mainly because I ran out of money.
Adulting, it's hard.
Yeah, bills. But yes, I am a more of a DC guy because of my dad. He gave me my first comic books.
That's so cool, though.
Were his comic books when he was a kid.
Dude,
my dad
even
is
more cool.
87 years old, and I have some Superman issues, and he's not even my favorite superhero. That were my dad. So that's why I'm
so
like,
awesome.
DC in the
Gets
heart.
You in the feels. Yeah.
I do think that Marvel is great. I love their comics like X-Men.
So you're not like anti-Marvel.
I'm
it's
not
just
anti-Marvel.
Like DC's your jam.
Yeah, yeah. But Marvel seems to be able to nail it better in
the
movies.
Oh my God, you guys, I talk about that later. Stay tuned.
Oh, what? Oh.
No, what you just said about them nailing it in the movies. I have a theory. Just wait.
They are better at making their world from comic to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a smoother transition. I think that DC's on the struggle
bus. Figuring out their stride. It just they've nailed it some and missed the mark some. Mm-hmm. Not quite there. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
But are you like up to date on the MCU? Like you've seen all 21?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Same. Like that's my tie to the MCU is I've seen all 21 movies, never read a comic book. Don't apologize. Rich, how about you?
You know, my comic book history is a little interesting because I've been around geek culture my entire life, and comic books were never my primary form of geekdom, but you can't be that deep into the pool and not be surrounded by it to a certain extent. So, you know, a number of my friends are like bona fide comic book nerds that know way too much about every little detail, and they're great. So, you know, I've always had kind of these resources around me, but as far as actually getting into the comics themselves, I was never that deep into them. I only ever collected one set of comic books, and this is going to be one of those pivotal moments for the listeners because I could alienate a lot of people here. But let me explain why.
Oh, boy.
Archie Bunker?
No. So
he likes Jughead. Shut up.
I have every appearance of Lobo, mainly because
heard of that.
Lulu's blank stare is pretty prominent.
I introduce myself as Lara, but they will always call me Lulu.
Sorry.
Can feel free to address me
that
however you'd like. I will answer both.
Yeah, this is like the Miss Marvel thing. It's difficult for me to call you Lara. I call you
the
Lulu
girl has
so much.
Two names. You see what I did there? I made a Game of Thrones reference,
she did.
Guys.
She did. So
final season airs tonight.
Lobo for Lara here. He's kind of a bit character that shows up, and it's not a very serious take on any character whatsoever. And he's pretty generally hated by most comic book people.
The person's name is Lobo.
His name is Lobo.
It's a pretty badass name. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
My favorite is Lobo versus Santa Claus. To give you an idea of where this goes.
That's delightful.
Yes. But
oh my God, it's Santa.
Most like hardcore comic book guys are going to despise Lobo, which is why I had to collect Lobo.
Most hardcore any people are going to despise somebody else.
So you're like the hipster in the comic book world.
No, I totally was before like hipster was a thing. If there was something all my friends were into, I had to find the thing that they didn't like and be into that just to create adversity.
Let everybody like what they like.
But I'm pretty familiar with all the comic book stuff.
All right, so you guys are like deeper into the comic book world than I am. Like I said, I've seen all the movies in the MCU. I have a thing with my eyes. I can't read comic books. It's a medical condition.
Reading, that's a medical condition.
No, it has to do with like the pictures and the letters. My brain can't focus on both. And it's extremely headache inducing to attempt. I've made it like 3/4 of the way through Watchmen and loved it. And was like, my brain's going to explode. I have to stop. So yeah, that was me whining for a second. Okay. I would like to just dive in. I want to hear what you guys think. Rich, I'm going to start with you. Give us your grade for Captain Marvel.
I gave Captain Marvel a B+.
Ooh, got a plus in there.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it's a solid effort from Marvel, a fine addition to everything they've done in the MCU. I do have a few critiques. That's why it's only a B+ and not in the A. A few areas I think they could have improved on. Mm-hmm. But generally, I liked it. It was a darn good movie and definitely worth seeing.
Nick, how do you feel?
So we weren't far off. I gave it a B-.
Oh, B-. Actually, this time we have the minus.
And the reason why I gave it that is it was a good movie. I don't know much about Captain Marvel. I know of her. I didn't read like
you've never read like the comics and stuff.
And this is going to sound weird. I like to read origin stories in a comic book. I hate watching the origin story movies. And this one.
Ah, but is it an origin story movie? Because aside from the teaser, we'd never met her before. So it's essentially her initial story, not her origin story.
They tried to subvert that trope by the way they presented it. So, by introducing her later on and not here's her founding, and they kind of flash back to things.
Yeah.
So the way that they presented it, they kind of tried to subvert that trope. But I do think at its core, this probably still is an origin story. Just maybe not a conventional one.
And I liked how they did it that way. It was different than how normal origin stories are, but yet it still is an origin story. I hate watching them struggle for 2 hours finding themselves because I'm like, oh my God, just blow shit up. Like
I can struggle to find myself on my own things.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, I love to read it for myself because it's different. It's not, it doesn't take me 2 hours to read a 20-page
like
comic
watching
book.
The movie, do you find yourself like now wanting to read the origin? Like, did it capture you enough that you want to know more?
No.
I can tell you that's going to be a complicated read on the comic book end.
Yeah, I kind of Googled that. It gets real convoluted.
Interestingly enough, my big critique of this movie is that I felt that they did not spend enough time on her development.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this being, here's how she gets to be Captain Marvel. And I felt like they rushed through it too much.
Right.
I wanted to see more.
They had to fill the gap for Endgame, yeah.
Yeah, I felt that they were trying to shoehorn too much in and tell the story too quickly. I wanted to see more transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the transition, I think, kind of got glossed over in the middle of the movie.
And not that this is a bad thing, which is probably why I was a little bit more generous on giving it a B-. It felt like it was because it was a throwback, because it took place in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it felt like a really long. And like, here's little tidbits of, hey, do you remember this? Hey, do you remember this? And
throwing
I'm like,
in little nostalgic references, yeah, well, too much.
Which is cool, but like at the same time,
yeah, it felt like that was not enough scene. I mean, we know they obviously did it in order to make their timeline work.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of putting this in backfilling to a certain degree. So I feel like they either should have made that more of a centerpiece or less of a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. It was just enough to be distracting, but not enough to add to the story.
Mm-hmm. And I will say this, because I'm not a humongous Sam Jackson fan, because he's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they just
a lot of his characters are similar too.
Yes. I thought Samuel L. Jackson was the best part of that movie. He was very funny in this, and I really appreciate what he did for it.
I honestly would say that Ben Mendelsohn was the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. But Sam Jackson, they did much, you know, before he's always just kind of like, here's Nick Fury and here's my couple of Nick Fury lines.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, you got to see some development. Him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was great.
Maybe that's what it actually was. The Nick Fury origin story.
Mm-hmm. It kind of was.
Screw Captain Marvel. This is all about Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And Goose. Was.
You know,
sorry, I really love Goose.
I loved Goose other than the eye thing. I felt like they had all this build up for how does he lose his eye? And all of a sudden, they're at the very end of the movie, they're like, cat scratch him. It's cool. No, it was just a letdown for me.
Lurking.
Well, and this is another thing that really sort of peeved me off because they had two end credit cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they should have flipped those cutscenes because...
Oh,
because
you were pissed you had to sit through the whole credits just to see a cat yak?
Yes, because in a Marvel movie... I love the fact that they're not an hour and a half and they actually go on 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
To fully tell the whole story.
But I do have to pee at the end of this thing. And I can't fast forward to the credits because I know that there's a lot of people that are involved for making these movies. But I really don't care when I've been sitting there for 2.5 hours because I have to pee. My back teeth are floating. Get me to the cutscene.
Well, nobody's reading those credits. Nobody's looking up and saying, hey, look, there's Joe. Didn't he also work on such? Nobody's doing it. I mean, no offense to these people. They're hardworking people, and I think they're amazing. But, I mean, that's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
I mean, I'm sure that you know, the third AD and the gaffers and whoever else, you know, really appreciate these end credit scenes because it's going to make somebody see their name. But I get you. Like, you got to pee, you got to pee. And ultimately, like, I sat there the whole time and I was like, I mean, that was funny, but.
Uh-huh. That's why I said they should have flipped them.
Okay.
Cat yak halfway through and the, you know, good stuff at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about, like, having to go to the bathroom. My biggest fear for the next Marvel movie is how long it is and I'm not drinking any liquids. Like, I might wear a catheter.
We're going to like a theater that sells beer. We're going to see it together, folks. And we're going to a theater that sells beer and beer makes me pee. And I'm not drinking
or eating
anything. Here's a life pro tip for you for something like this. You can drink, but don't order your first one until about halfway through the movie. If you drink beforehand, then you're going to have to pee in about the middle.
My bladder
of the
has about a 15-minute turnaround after a beer.
Well, fair enough. I mean, you have to know your body and your limitations.
I know myself and I know my beer intake. I'm looking at maybe a 20-minute window, and it's going to get ugly if I have to hold it. So I'm not going to partake in any liquids.
Yeah. She's going to be wearing an adult diaper.
Depends
and just
all the way.
Pee in the seat. That's what's happening.
It's a leather seat. Somebody can wipe it out.
There you go.
I like to think of others. Dear kid who cleans this theater. Sorry, but not really.
I don't get paid enough for this shit.
He's five. He's pushing his little glasses up his nose. I can see his face and his buck teeth. Okay. So you guys don't have terribly conflicting opinions on this one, but that's okay. There's always a best and there's always a worst. So I'm going to ask you to dig deep. And find me just the worst thing in this movie for you. It wasn't funny. It fell flat. It wasted your time. What is it, Rich?
You know, unfortunately, I already said it, but the eye thing, you know, the build
that's
up.
That's like the worst, though?
That really was. I mean, I really thought there was going to be something interesting there. Something that added something to his story and his legacy. Because this, like you said, was a little bit of the Nick Fury origin story as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happened, I'm like, well, that's boring and lame. I'm actually not interested in this at all. So it was a huge letdown for me. Now, granted, you know, in the grand scheme of things, not that big of a deal, not enough to ruin the movie for me by any means. But yeah, that's probably the thing I'm hung up on.
Same question, Nick.
Worst thing, and it probably has to do with just who her character is. At the end, whenever she's out in space, like blowing up those ships that came
in. Like when she's flying without the ship and she's like flying through space.
Right. Okay, and she's like,
with the mohawk, yeah.
Yeah. And she looks at the villains. Who are they again?
Ronan the Accuser.
Yes,
yeah.
Ronan. He goes, we'll be back for her. And I'm like, why did you blow up every ship around him and then you didn't? That was your moment.
Well, obviously because he's still alive in the later continuity, so she couldn't.
Right. I mean, I don't know.
He had plot armor.
She felt, this character to me just feels almost too powerful, like a god. And I'm like.
Well, she is meant to be. I mean, she is the Marvel Superman.
Right, and that's why I don't like Superman, though.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, because, I don't know, I think it, and everybody, like, gives other characters crap, like Tony Stark and Batman. They're like, well, he's just a, normal man with money. It's like,
it's a more interesting story when they're just a regular person.
Awesome. I don't know. Yeah. Because they can die. Well, really.
You,
know
you do run into problems with them when they're that powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no room for story because they just fix everything with their being powerful.
Ooh, yeah. I farted this awesome blast and now the galaxy's created.
Like, oh my God. If I become a superhero, I want that to be my superpower.
Fart a galaxy into existence.
I'm just going to destroy it. Like, they think I'm turning away from the fight. And then all of a sudden it's like, pull my finger.
I did not think that Laura would be the first one to go to like fart jokes. I really didn't.
It does not matter where you are or what language you speak. Flatulence is funny. All right, flip it. You just told me the worst. Uh-huh. Tell me the best, Nick.
I have two best things, actually. One is the Stan Lee cameo.
Ugh, R.I.P., bro.
Yeah.
And it was awesome because he was on
the... tie into Mallrats.
Yes, that was awesome. Because Mallrats is one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And two... I really like how Disney is able to take these actors who are older, like Sam Jackson, and make them look like they're in their
20s. Like the reverse Benjamin Button. Because
I'm like, wow, this doesn't look like crap like it did 10 years ago. Like, he really looks like he's 20 and the dude's like 60 or whatever. I don't even know how old he is.
I'm pretty sure he's 112.
Yeah, but like...
Yeah, he old, but...
But like, if you... Like, when Benjamin Button came out, it looked like crap.
Yeah, yeah. It was disconcerting.
De-aging has improved greatly.
Yeah. I mean, they did the same thing, like, when they were testing those waters in Civil War, I think, whenever they made Robert Downey Jr. look like he did in the 80s. And I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Was he coked
on?
Out?
I mean, no, they made him look like he did, like, in Weird Science. Like,
well,
it was
because
great.
He was coked out in Weird Science.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Bravo.
Yeah, that was really cool. What about you, Rich?
If I had to pick the best thing for me out of the movie, I'm going to have to go back to Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
I loved not only his, I mean, he just chewed up scenery. The character turned out to be amazing, but I did really enjoy the way that they kind of flipped it around and he wasn't the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they very much set him on early to be where he was the bad guy. And I think they sold it.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. You know, there was just enough that you bought it.
Yeah, you know, you kind of felt like he was maybe this bit character that was just supposed to be the cardboard villain.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold it well enough that when they revealed that he's not the bad guy, you know, he's just a guy trying to find his family and willing to do what he has to do, that it was very emotional and it actually sold the scene very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor himself just, I mean, he just tore it up. So he put all that together.
You know, I know I've already said something bad, but you know who I didn't believe in the movie, like as a character? And it was hard because they're really a great actor normally. Jude Law.
See, I disagree. I thought like he did great.
Really? I felt like he just sort of half-assed it the whole time.
You know, I don't know if I can blame all that on Jude Law. I kind of see where you're coming from here because I don't know that the movie sold it well enough.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was all on his shoulders, but you kind of had the idea from the very beginning that something is wrong here.
Yeah.
And he's just too prominent to not have been involved.
Yeah.
So he's the obvious suspect when you look at something is wrong here. What's going to happen? He's the first person you're going to look at. So I don't know that they hit it well enough. And I think that kind of took something away from the character.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't believe it. Sort of like, not to say about this, but like when he played Dumbledore, I thought he did a great job playing young Dumbledore.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Mm-hmm. But it was just something, like you said, this
I
character.
Feel like
I just
that he
didn't...
just, I feel like his performance was strong. The way it was handled was a little off, but he did a very good job of being oh so subtle with delivering the fact that there's more going on than meets the eye. You could tell from the beginning he's holding something back, but it's not overt. It's not tongue-in-cheek. It's not wink and a nod. It's,
Yeah, it's kind of in your face. It's too on the nose, which leads into my main critique of the movie anyway, is I don't think that they sold that relationship. So when you get to the climax, you know, where those two are finally having it out at the end, it didn't have enough oomph for me, mainly because I don't think that they sold it early enough. You know, there wasn't the emotion there between them. It was just a little too disconnected. And I think it's because they didn't spend enough time on those scenes. They didn't convince me that there was a connection there. They just told me there was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the transition of her figuring everything out happened so quickly that it didn't add any emotion either. So there was a little bit of a letdown at the end where I think if they'd have spent more time on those characters specifically, it would have been a slightly better story.
I agree. And that kind of ties right into my best and worst, because I have two worsts. But the worst.
I feel left out. I only had one worst. What do I do? I'm getting gypped here.
The worst for me was that relationship between Jude Law and Brie Larson not having enough buildup. I didn't care. And that the whole first, I mean, was it about like 20 minutes before she makes it to Earth, before she like crashes into the Blockbuster?
It's pretty quick.
Yeah. So like that whole bit of the movie, I had no tie to her. I had no connection to her. They hadn't given me a reason to care. They had just presented her as clearly this is the lead, but I had no reason, because her interactions with Jude Law. And again, I don't think this is the fault of either actor. I think they both did a fantastic job. I think both of them were great. And I think Brie Larson carried this character off wonderfully. But in that first like 20 minutes where I really wanted to like dive in, I was sitting there kind of iffy, like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to like this movie because I don't care about this girl.
Yeah, I wish they would have taken some of the callback scenes that didn't really sell well and used that time to give us more into those characters. Mm-hmm. Let them sell those characters to us a little bit more. We already know the world, the MCU. If you're into the 21st movie, you kind of got an idea what's going on here. And if you don't, you're not going to learn it from a little bit scene here and there. Mm-hmm. So give us a little more meat from those guys. Mm-hmm. Give us a little more emotional connection to those characters. And I think it would have improved the movie.
Yeah. Because, I mean, once she got to Earth, I mean, immediately her interactions with the security guard and doing the whole payphone thing and the first talking to Nick Fury, like, I was in it then. Like, there were sparks, and you could see her personality and the way she was quipping with them. And it was great. And it, like, from that moment on, it worked. It was just prior to that. And that's, like, your initial introduction to her. I wanted more. I wanted more chemistry. I wanted more... Mm-hmm. Oomph in those scenes, and it wasn't there.
The transition would have more power if they'd anchored both ends of it.
Yeah.
My other worst is, it's a nitpick, but I'm just a girl playing during the fight scene on the ship toward the end.
Oh, it did, didn't it? Yes.
I don't really remember that.
My flare of annoyance, it's when her and the other girl, whose woman, is it offensive to say girl? I don't know. I apologize. The
female.
Other woman. That she was fighting, whose name I don't remember, they're going at it. And then she's going at it with some other people, and she has the lunchbox, and they're playing No Doubt's I'm Just a Girl. And, like, that took me out of the movie. I'm not a big No Doubt fan. That song annoys the crap out of me. And the second it started to play, I was just, like, irked.
Yeah. And I think the only reason why they chose that is
because
it was in the 90s. I don't know.
I get it.
I'm not trying to stick up for it.
Doesn't
I'm not
make
a No Doubt fan.
I mean, I liked No Doubt then. So the song itself doesn't bother me, but I see it almost brought you out just a little bit. I can see that.
It was just too overt and just in your face. I'm like, we get it. Well, we're watching the movie. We know she's a girl.
Especially since if they'd had maybe a few other callbacks musically like that, maybe it made more sense.
I feel like the rest of the soundtrack was pretty spot on.
Mm-hmm. They should have put that whole song that they played when the credits rolled in that spot.
No, it probably would have been better.
Yeah.
My best was obviously the little Stanley callback to Mallrats, and, you know, the whole, like, R.I.P. Stan, and the whole the symmetry of him saying the words from Mallrats, because Mallrats was Stanley's first theatrical cinematic cameo. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he'd only had a cameo in the made-for-TV Incredible Hulk movie from, like, the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got Mallrats. And then after that, when, you know, Iron Man and all that started happening, and then it became like this thing. But they like tied it in with the symmetry of him doing the Mallrats line. And I thought it was perfect. And I loved it.
It's extraordinarily meta, but it's a very nice touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That and the little homage in the opening credits was very sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stan Lee.
Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. We usually like try to be all creative and rename these movies because, you know. I don't know who names movies, but it's kind of like who names like paint chips and nail polish, and they typically suck. And we like to get creative. However, we're kind of in the MCU where Iron Man's called Iron Man and Captain Marvel's called Captain Marvel's and the Avengers are called the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Do we try to rename this movie?
Oh, I think I got one.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Hit us, Rich.
So I'm going to call this Power Creep.
Okay.
You know, you hit on it earlier with, you know, she's just more and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we've seen that in the MCU. You know, several characters like Thor have even gotten power-ups along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, people look at Tony Stark. I'm sorry, but Iron Man 1 Tony Stark would have not even have been a problem for current Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know, he could have beaten 100 old Tony Starks. So even he has gotten more powerful over time. So we've experienced power creep in the MCU, and this is kind of the ultimate recognition of that.
Nice. What about you, Nick? You've got a look on. I don't folks, really he's got a look one. On his face like, I got nothing.
I don't have anything. I mean, because like I said, she's so powerful of a character, just like Superman, just God. I don't know. It's weird.
You heard it here first, folks. God is a woman.
There you go. Let me help you. I've got one for you. I think this is where you're going to go for. She's MC Superman.
There you go.
Brought to you today by Dad Jokes.
See? Classic right there.
Yeah. No, there you go. I'll take that.
No, when I was thinking about it earlier today and the 4.2 seconds of thought I gave to it earlier, I was thinking about how it's like Iron Man is Iron Man and then Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3 and Captain, you know, this and that. And I was like, you know, I really would have liked it if they took a more like artistic, like collar, like Avenger origins, like they're called the Avengers because her call sign was Avenger, like, you know, something. Well, no, origins, because that's two X-Men, the first Avenger.
They did that.
They already did that.
That was Captain America. America. Literally, the name of the movie was the first Avenger.
That tells you how much I love Cap.
But really, though, he wasn't. Well, yeah, he was, because that was the 90s.
I mean, yeah.
They named him after her, but he was still the first Avenger.
How about this? Why they're called Avengers? They should have called the movie Why They're Called Avengers.
There you go.
Oh, actually, it just like dawned on me that like they were wanting to do, now that Disney owns Fox, they
now
were
that
wanting
Disney owns your soul.
Yeah. They were wanting to do like an Avengers X-Men combo because Logan is still part of that whole military.
Can there be
mutant
too?
Made, you know, cuz
There could be.
I hope so. Because
Captain America was the first one. His shield is made of adamantium.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan is the 10th because he's Weapon X. Mm. So, I mean, I think that'd be pretty awesome if they would finally
that'd
do that.
Be dope.
Do the tie-in.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
But, I mean.
Well, and wasn't, what's it? Quicksilver. Wasn't he in both?
They were different Quicksilvers.
Oh, see, I'm not in the world. I didn't know.
They used the same name for the character.
That's not confusing at all.
Because at the time they didn't, it was ambiguous as to who had the rights. So they agreed to let each other use the same name as long as they didn't use the same character. Like, they could not cross it over.
Mm-hmm. Totally thought that was like the same, and like he just didn't have a sister in one world or something.
That's also why they killed him in Age of Ultron, is because it was just easier, and Joss Whedon was able to use that to kind of have his little switcheroo, as well as avoid that problem in the future.
There you go. The more you know, folks. The more you know. All right, these two guys have blathered on long enough. Now it's my turn. I'm going to tell you what I think about this movie. I consider myself like a tier two geek. There's three tiers of geekdom. One is the elite, three mostly posers. I'm squarely in tier two. That being said, I don't keep my nose pressed to the glass of the MCU or anything. I had seen, I think, one teaser before this movie and had zero expectations, good or bad, beforehand. Just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a solid B. I'm right in the middle. You're the B plus, you're the B minus, I'm the B. This is, it's a super fun action adventure movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, but it was like thoughtful and intentional in the way that it was created. And there's plenty of humor. I thought there were too many cheap one-liners, but it's still a lot of laughs. I liked the cool action scenes, the fight scenes, the special effects. I loved seeing the softer side of like younger Nick Fury. Brie Larson did a fantastic job. I am obsessed with Goose, the Flerken kitty. I want an orange kitty now, and I want him to be a Flerken and claw my eye out.
You can
except
have my
the
orange
thing.
Kitty if you want.
No, I like your other kitty. She hates you, but she loves me. Anyhow, Maria was a fantastic character as well. Maria is a badass. Just throwing that out there.
She was a great character.
Loved her. And the as I mentioned, the opening homage to Stan Lee was just poignant, and I loved it. But for me, the ultimate success of this movie comes down to what you mentioned earlier, Nick. Marvel has figured it out. So what Marvel has gotten that other people are trying to catch up to is you take a fairly formulaic script and generally pretty predictable characters. But what Marvel does is they cast outstandingly talented actors to bring these movies to life. Look at Mar-Vell. On paper, that's a pretty slim character to build on. There's not a lot there. But then they cast Annette fucking Bening.
Who killed it in a very short period of time.
In my opinion, she was the most compelling character in this entire movie and probably had the least screen time. Because that's the magic of a great actor, is they bring depth and realness to any character. And this was a good movie because it was full of characters that felt like real people with real depth. That's what makes you care, and that's what makes you want to watch. And that's what Marvel has figured out. And I feel like that's why the MCU is so successful, is because they cast actors of a caliber that know how to bring these characters to life. Mm-hmm. And that's why it works.
Well, I mean, that really is all the way back to the origin. You know, if it weren't for Robert Downey Jr., we might not be here. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for his career implosion, he probably would not have, to the point where he needed something like this to resurrect it. But I think that he did bring that to a point where people realize that these comic book stories are good character stories, and all it needs is somebody to take it seriously mm-hmm. and tell the stories and let the actors tell the stories of the characters, and suddenly you've got something worth watching.
Yep. And well, and here's the thing that a lot of people need to figure out about comic book movies. It matters a whole lot less if they look like how you think that character's supposed to look. Look at the Superman movies. He looked just like Superman. I can't remember his name. I think Roth.
Henry Cavill?
Or? Yes, that was there. There
well,
was another
on
one
which
too.
One you're talking about.
They were not good either one.
The most recent actor to play Superman is Henry Cavill.
The one before that looked just like Superman, but I didn't
that was
care.
Brendan Routh, isn't it Routh? Yeah. I believe it's Routh.
And you know, maybe he's received acting lessons and gotten so much better. And I don't mean to throw shade at him, but I don't care that he looks like Superman. He didn't bring the character to life, so I didn't care.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did the same thing with Batman. Like, sometimes I feel like they'll just throw anybody in it. I'm not saying, like...
Right, but you look at the Christian Bale Batmans, and Christian Bale is an outstandingly talented actor, and he brought the character. However you feel about those movies, that Batman, that Bruce Wayne, was a compelling character.
That trilogy of Batman movies were, like, award-winning.
Mm-hmm. You know, like... Yeah, no, you spoke earlier about origin stories, mm-hmm. and The Dark Knight is obviously the gold standard, mm-hmm. but the one of the points there that a lot of people don't realize is that we don't ever get the Joker origin story in the Christian Bale and the Christopher Nolan.
Right.
We really don't, and I think that's great because ultimately you don't need it. It doesn't matter how he got there. Mm-hmm. What matters is the character he is, and Heath Ledger sold that in a way that was so compelling that that's why he's the gold standard. It doesn't matter how he got there. And mm-hmm. even he would have said that. It doesn't matter how I got here. We're here.
Yeah.
I do think that some storylines or story arcs or whatever you want to say for DC are coming around and going to start catching up.
They're getting it. They're starting to get it.
They got Joaquin Phoenix to do the origin story for Joker,
and that
which looks
teaser
really
looks
good.
Well, you know, I mean, Wonder Woman.
Fantastic.
I think that was the proof of concept
mm-hmm.
That, you know, that there is a formula there they can use.
Yeah.
Special nod to Wonder Woman. Without Wonder Woman, there's no Captain Marvel.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Kevin Feige said until Wonder Woman came out, they didn't think the world wanted a female-led superhero movie, and Wonder Woman is what changed their mind. We'll probably get a Black Widow movie now.
Yeah, I think that's already in production.
It's not officially been released. Scarlett Johansson is not permitted to comment.
Okay, I thought that one is, but I could be mistaken.
But also, I mean, they have someone who's written for Marvel doing Suicide Squad. James
really
Gunn
cool.
is mm-hmm. making...
Yeah.
That he's relaunching Suicide Squad. He's pretending like the other one was non-existent.
As they should.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they brought him back. Marvel brought
him
back. He's coming back
for
Volume 3.
Yeah. Everybody's excited about that.
Yeah, that was a mistake on their part. Yeah.
It really was.
Well, they know.
But they fixed it.
They found out.
Yeah, they realized that. All right, guys. At the end here, what we usually do is a segment called Female Factor, where we look at the film through a lens of a feminist perspective. Usually, that's mostly me doing the talking, and I have something akin to an op-ed prepared. But for this movie, I feel like we need to have a more organic conversation, because you can't look at this movie from a feminist perspective without talking about the controversy around it. So a little, in case you live under a rock and don't know, a little thing about what happened. So apparently Brie Larson was doing press and they were discussing the movie A Wrinkle in Time. She made a comment alluding to her opinions being given to her by 40-year-old white men, quote unquote. This comment was regarding diversity in media coverage. That led to outcries that Larson hated all men, all white men, etc. There was a small group of malcontents that began to trend online, and then the outrage intensified. And before you know it, this quote unquote controversy is overshadowing news of the film. There were attempts to sabotage ratings and so on and so forth online. That was most of what people heard about this movie before it came out. Since the movie has come out, I think it's stood on its own 2 feet, and the success of the film and how good it is has begun to overshadow all of that. But you can't really talk about the female factor without talking about the controversy. Were you guys up on it? Nick, your face says you're kind of like not, weren't really aware of all that.
I'm not even going to lie. This is the first time I've heard anything about that, because I don't really follow like celebrity gossip like that.
I was really unfamiliar with it. I familiarized myself and with it for this episode. I'm with you.
Honestly, I didn't even really remember who Brie Larson was before this movie. Mm. I just remember,
I think she was a singer. I don't really know who
she was
either.
She was in a Disney movie.
Was
Disney
it a
Channel
wrinkle?
Original.
Oh, I was like, was it A Wrinkle in Time? I think Disney made that movie.
And she's done a few things.
Well, she has.
I'm sure she has.
But when I finally figured out who she was, I was like, oh, that was the little sister from that racing Disney Channel original movie. And then I go, oh, yeah, she was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, she came a long way. She's in
no,
the
she really did.
But no, I mean, I thought you were going to talk about the like timing in the movie, how like women weren't allowed to fight in this, like in the military, like fly jets or whatever. And then I was like, oh, I didn't know there was like real controversy over
yeah.
this movie.
No, it went a little deeper than not being able to fly a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
You know, it really did. I actually was up on it before the movie. Not necessarily intentionally, but just because I'm the guy that skims the news every morning. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to not catch that. And you know, that's the kind of clickbaity thing that actually will catch me, because I'm like, I want to see what's going on with Captain Marvel. So, you know, I was definitely aware of it. And to the point where I had to kind of calm myself down before I saw the movie to make certain that I was just watching the movie and mm-hmm. not letting any of the
not
meta
reacting.
Arguments yeah, give me any sort of commentary beforehand.
Yeah, I like I told you, Nick, I kind of dove into this a little bit specifically for this podcast, and I had to very quickly back away because there was one article in particular that I was reading, and I began to sweat because I was so angry from the content of that article. Mm. I think any feminist statement made in this movie, there were a lot. I mean, there were a lot of good strides. One of the directors is female. Most of the writers are female. Nick just moved his microphone and made a lot of noise. There were a lot of strides made, and I feel like every stride made with this movie was overshadowed by how far we still have to come by this quote-unquote controversy around it. Maybe her 40-year-old white dude's comment was off-key, was off-tone. Maybe it was taken out of context. I wasn't there. I don't know. I haven't kept up with a lot of this. But the fact that that one off-the-cuff remark was enough to enrage so many thousands of people. They were nitpicking about her not smiling in the trailer, about her not smiling in the posters for the movie, about how...
She's a warrior.
Well, yeah, well, pretty girls are supposed to smile, Nick. Yeah. Nick,
in 1 second, but they still don't. Has Iron Man, has Captain America, has Thor ever smiled in one of their posters? Are they smiling in the trailers? No. Because they're a badass warrior dude who's not supposed to smile. You put a girl in the badass warrior role, and she's still supposed to smile for the trailer. There were people that were talking about how she didn't have the over-exaggerated physique that she was supposed to have. So there's a problem with this movie because she looks like a real human and not like a cartoon drawing of one. Do we want real women to look like comic book women? Because I feel like they're going to have a lot of health problems. There's not room for organs in those waists.
You know, a comic book, unfortunately, if you look through its history of not only the comic books themselves, but many of the fans, you're going to see a lot of that darkness
yeah.
there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, I'm a comic book fan myself, but I got to be honest, it's there. It really is.
It is. Well, and look, I'm not trying to say the art's not beautiful. Those artists are incredibly talented, and the comics that they draw are amazing. They are not true to scale. Was she supposed to walk around in a green suit and have a 16-inch waist and 42-inch hips? Is that right. how she was supposed to, is that how she's supposed to save the world?
But the same thing, I mean, the in comics, I'm not defending either side. Like it's, but like the only person like in the male physique that could ever fulfill the way a comic book looks is probably Jason Momoa, but he's not natural. Yeah. Like, you know,
and
what
it's
I mean? Like,
it does go both ways. You're very right. It does go both
like
ways.
Like he was a one in a million shot to be built like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of Jason Momoas out
right.
there. Right.
There
know.
Could be more world. I'm just saying. Throwing that under the universe. Seeing what I reel in.
And, you know, the thing is, it doesn't matter. You know, it's okay for women to be attractive. It's okay for men to be attractive. It just has to be organic. It has to be the way to, and it shouldn't be required. You know,
there were no outcries that Thor didn't look as buff as he did in the comics. There was nobody saying that, oh, in the comics, his chest is this big.
I will say, like, I could tell through the I'm glad you brought up Thor because through the evolution of those movies, you could
beefier.
Tell you could he got beefier. Sort of like well, Hugh Jackman
yes,
did.
I was just thinking
as,
Hugh Jackman.
As Logan. You see the first one, you're like, that isn't Logan.
Have you ever seen the pictures put side by side where they show
no.
them the different movies? And yeah, it's really like astounding how like jacked he got. I mean, great for him because that's him working hard to do that.
No,
but
for sure.
It's really noticeable from the first X-Men movie, even just watch the progression through Logan. That dude worked out a lot.
Yeah. And that was a big part of why he stopped doing it, is hurting his body.
Probably.
His
well,
but he's not young anymore.
I in no way want to say that this does not go both ways as far as body image goes.
Right.
I am not going to say that women have the monopoly on body image. Men have a lot of body image challenges as well. I will go ahead and say not as many as women do, but that doesn't mean they suck less for any gender.
Well, I think that's the point. The point isn't that, you know, things only exist certain ways for women, even though sometimes they do. You know, the point is there's an imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tilted one way, and that's not fair. And the fact that this entire ridiculous controversy became a thing and people are trying to sabotage this movie before it comes out, this is the hard work of tens of thousands of people. There's some woman or man who ran catering on that. This is their hard work too.
Probably many.
Many. And they're trying to sabotage the work of all of those people because one person allegedly said one offensive comment. She did say the comment. I'm alleging whether or not it was offensive or she intended it to be derisive.
Well, you know, and she did say it. I've seen the videos, you know, that's well documented at this point. And, you know, personally, I don't feel like she was trying to be offensive. I think she was making a point. And
I think it was probably a valid point.
Well, she was looking around her and realizing that why am I being interviewed by all these dudes?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm the 40-year-old white guy. So, you know, if somebody should be offended, I should be in that category. And I absolutely wasn't because my first question is, well, was it a bunch of 40-year-old white guys and why is it? So she was making a point that wasn't particularly relevant to the movie. And, you know, I think she has taken it upon herself to champion the cause a little bit more so than some other female actors have done.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, that's her choice. That's something that she wants to do. I support her in it because I do think that there is imbalance. I mean, we said it earlier. This is the 21st Marvel movie, the first female lead of a Marvel movie. How much more obvious?
20
do you,
more movies.
Yeah. How much more obvious do you need
before we got this one
to show an imbalance? Now you could, you know, some people throw out the argument. Well, we had some female characters. Sure, we had some female characters, but once again, there's nowhere near as many. Just do a head count. You know, there is, and not that things have to be equal, but there's an obvious imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, let's.
Well, and the imbalance even spills over into the politics. There were people that were outraged. How dare this woman come forward and be so political? Guess what? Mark Ruffalo, extremely political.
Very much so, yeah.
Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Evans, super political. He's done lots of, you know, comments on Trump. There are innumerable other names tied to the MCU that are very political. They just happen to have a penis.
You know,
and that's apparently a deciding factor in if you're okay to get political.
Well, you know, I have to go, it's the classic straw man argument. When you got nothing else, you try to make things that you can argue against, which is what they've done with Brie Larson and this movie. You know, as you say, they're just making up these arguments so they can try to shoot them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. So she has a little bit of a cause that she wants to use her influence for. Go for it. You know, if you don't like it, and you know, sure, you're entitled to your opinion. You then you can vote with your consumer dollar and don't go see the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with that. I, you know, I may disagree with your opinion, but then do that.
Well, and I think that's a very important point for me to make, is that there's going to be a female factor segment in every episode that we do. And if I say something that you, listener, don't agree with, that's fine. I don't dislike you because you disagree with me. And I hope that you don't dislike me because I say something that you don't agree with. We can look at this from two different points of view and still find somewhere to meet in the middle. And that's where people get lost.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's the point of this podcast, is that we're going to know we have different opinion. Now, talking about movies sounds rather benign as far as having different opinions, but the concept is there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to suddenly like, Nick, you're a jerk just because I didn't like what you said about that movie, especially when I have so many other great reasons
me
to think
you
you're a jerk.
Guys aren't going
to
eventually break up over a movie. I'm kind of sad.
Yeah, you know.
I thought it was going to be like reality TV.
Did you just ask if we're going to break up over a movie?
Yeah, they're not together, and they both have respective spouses, BT dubs.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, actually. Even I'm surprised.
Is that you're married or no?
Yeah, thanks.
His wife's also way too hot for him.
That's not wrong. You know, she, I'll go ahead and bring her up because you did. You know, she's long been conflicted about going to see these Marvel movies. Because, you know, they haven't had, mm-hmm. there was a point where she pretty much said, I'm not going to see another one until they get a female
lead. I stopped in the middle for
lead.
A while too.
And, you know, I respect that. It was difficult because I'm like, oh, I agree with you, but I don't want to stop seeing the movies. And, you know, so she was very happy to see them finally start to catch up a little bit. And I think they do. This is an attempt to catch up, not only in the you know, internal universe, but also in the, you know, the real universe that we live in. So hopefully it'll continue, make some strides there. They need it. It's good. I thought they did a good job here. I know some people complained that it was a little too in your face. I didn't give a crap. I thought it was fine.
I also found it fine.
Let me go ahead and make a comment on that specific thing. You know, like I said earlier, I'm the 40-year-old white dude. Mm-hmm. I am that demographic that should be the one who has this weird problem with it, and I don't, because, you know, those guys are just, well, they're dinosaurs. You know, they really should have become extinct already, and they're just not. They're, you know, a boring, dying breed that, in my opinion, is too weak to survive. So, you know, let progress pass you by and move on. But, you know, to me, this movie, it showed nothing other than a strong-willed superhero standing up for themselves and fighting the bad guys. Mm-hmm. That's all that was.
Yeah.
You know, so then you have these bullies, the cyber bullies, I suppose you could call them. You know, and all I can think of is, you know, you just got to remember what Captain Marvel says, that, you know, if you start running, they'll never stop. You stand up, you push back. Oh, no, wait a minute. That was Captain America, wasn't it? Yeah. So I guess, you know, it really doesn't matter that she's just a superhero doing superhero things. And there's no difference.
Just a person doing her job.
Exactly. You know, she has different anatomy. Whoop-de-doo. You know, if that's what's relevant to you, then you really need to take a good hard look at yourself and ask yourself what in the heck you're doing here.
Yeah. This movie's about balance. That's all it comes down to, is just wanting a little bit of balance. If that offends you, maybe you should take a look at your own footing.
Wow, we really went somewhere.
We did. We really did. It took a long-ass time to get there, but we got
cool.
somewhere.
I didn't say much because I had no idea about any of this controversy, so I'm like, cool.
You know
I'm
what?
Something.
That gives me hope for the world.
You know,
that you were not like up in it.
I don't read a lot of stuff like that. Like,
I don't either.
I don't
avoid
pick
it.
Up.
See, I do, and that's where I catch these things.
And anything that I learn, celebrity gossip, I learn from my wife. Like, I do not touch, I call them smut magazines. I know they're not pornos, but it is. It's smut. It's like, why do I care
about these
people?
It's a different kind of smut. Like, I don't care where they had dinner or who they're sleeping with. It's none of my business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, and yeah, this
you can't
was.
Can't trust that information anyway. No.
Yeah. And yes, technically this was news because she stood up for something.
Was it news, or did people reporting it as news make
right
it news?
Well, exactly.
That's my personal conundrum with this. I debate when I talk about these things, because sometimes you breathe life in them even if you're speaking out against them, whereas sometimes I
think
feel
enough
like
time has passed that we're not breathing life into it. But I think that's what happened. Was it was a non-event, and then it started getting reported on, and then all of a sudden it's the biggest event.
Sometimes the best thing you can do with things like that is just ignore it and it'll go away.
Mm-hmm. Every once in a while on the playground, your mom was right. This has been the first episode of Conflicts the Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, five listeners.
We love you all.